Welcome. We have Congressman Kevin Hearn with us this morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Tom, I'm doing well. It's good to be with you.
What's bringing you to Bartlesville today?
Well, we've got a full day meeting with school, the Kiwanis group, some of the GOP leadership, other leaders in town, business people. We've got a lot going on today.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. We've got some good news here. We found out from our hospital that our COVID cases are going way down. In fact, any given week in the last 4 weeks or so, we had one or no cases. And that's really good news. And Oklahoma seems to be doing a little bit better than everybody else on this.
Well, they are doing good. I mean, we're in the top 10. It varies from 4 to 7 as far as getting those shots in the arms. But if you look at the whole country is doing better. It's really kind of a shame to see, after folks are having shots, that they're still being asked by the president to stay closed, which is a little bit perplexing. That's why everybody's done well. But, you know, I was talking to some pharmacy folks yesterday, and they've been doing this a long time, 20-plus years, and one of the things they expressed to me is how fast we were able to get a vaccination into this deadly disease. And my comments to them were is, if you go back in January of last year, all the experts were telling then President Trump that 2 to 3 million people were going to die from COVID. And the problem is that we normally takes us 4 to 5 years to get a vaccination in place, and sometimes longer. And the president and his team took that to notice, remove the regulations that government puts on our pharmacy companies. And we started on what was called then Warp Speed, Operation Warp Speed. And we were able to get a drug that we're seeing now, actually multiple drugs by multiple companies. And that's why we're seeing lives saved. And we went from 2 to 3 million people estimated deaths to over 500,000, which is a tragedy. But still, it would have been truly devastating had we not gotten the vaccinations out there. So now that we see 200 million people roughly in America that have been vaccinated and growing very quickly.
And that is the good news. Kind of the bad news is that I hear some of the bureaucrats, and it seems like they're, I don't know, they want to kind of hang on to that relevancy by saying, oh, no, we have to double mask. Now we have to still be masked while you're vaccinated and things like that. So there's not a whole lot of clarity, as you mentioned earlier.
There's not. A lot of conflicting messages going on. But, you know, as we know, that not everybody wants to be vaccinated, and we don't have to have 100% of America vaccinated. We only need 70% roughly as the herd immunity. And so we're approaching that very quickly with 330 million people in America. We need about 230 million people vaccinated. And so we're getting very close, and plus the ones that have already had COVID, getting very close. And you're seeing restrictions removed. I was passing through Texas last week, and all the federal buildings there, their mask mandates have been removed. And in states where certainly what are identified as red states, I mean GOP-led states, a lot of the mask mandates have been removed. So you're seeing a lot of folks trying to get back to normal, and you're seeing the economies increase and get better as well.
I've been hearing this thing about a COVID passport. Show me your papers, please.
Yeah.
Is that something that's even being talked about in Washington, D.C.?
Well, it's, as you get a shot, and we actually talked to the pharmacists yesterday about that, your shot record, if you do get a COVID shot, it has on there that you've had your first and second shot. Mm-hmm. And it's right now, because there's no international travel, it's probably more valuable than your passport, because it gives folks the identity to identify that you've had the shot.
Let's switch to the border here. We have a crisis that maybe the mainstream media doesn't want to pay too much attention to.
Well, I think the mainstream media does want to pay attention to it, except for the Biden administration won't let them go in. And that's unheard of. You know, one thing about President Trump, he allowed anybody and everybody to be to witness anything going on. He had cameras everywhere. He was in front of the media all the time, unlike President Biden, who took, you know, almost 80 days to get in front of the camera. I went to the border back in May of 19 when we had the border surge, when we still had some really archaic laws in place. And just right after that, and I think it was in September, we had a couple of the laws got set aside by the then some of the judges. And we started seeing the remain in Mexico, which meant if you came seeking asylum, that you had to wait out your period of time in Mexico and not be released into the United States. And now what we're seeing is all of those have been removed, and we're seeing a flood at the southern border. The wall was stopped. Some have started speculating that the wall that had been bought and paid for is now being used as scrap metal. The Remain in Mexico agreement has been removed, so people are flooding across like we've never seen before. You know, tens of thousands of people held in facilities that were designed for a few hundred. Our Border Patrol is overwhelmed. They're pulling people from other parts of the border, northern border, to come work at the southern border. It's treacherous walking 1,100 miles from the Northern Triangle in Central America and coming across Mexico. The cartel and the couriers are making a fortune doing this, and it is really sad. Actually, I got a text this morning at 6 o'clock from some business people in Laredo, Texas, and the lady said to me, she said, I'm on a plane, and I'm heading to Dallas right now, and three-fourths of this airplane are folks that are being released into the United States. And I've actually seen this personally when I went to the border, and I'll be going down next week. But around their necks, they have a manila envelope. It says, I cannot speak English, and it has a destination where they're going. And she said that three-fourths of this American Airlines flight was full of folks being shipped to the middle part of the United States. And they don't get a notice to appear, which led to Senator Inhofe and I introducing the Asylum Abuse Act again, or Asylum Abuse Reduction Act again. And basically it says, if it's treacherous in your country, which we all know, we see the news reports, that you should make either a phone interview with the local consulate, the United States consulate in your country, to get set up and do this the right way instead of just leaving. Because the consulates, the embassies in those countries will know the treachery you're talking about, the reason. There's five reasons for seeking asylum in the United States. And then as you get here, that you won't be separated from your families as described, and also that you'll have a court date set. So you're not just removed and sent into the United States with no return to court. About 60% of our issues in the country are people not appearing, coming back to appear in court.
I want to move to taxes for infrastructure. This isn't exactly bowling for dollars, is it?
No, it's really kind of interesting. You know, last year during COVID, we had four bills that were very bipartisan to save America's economy, save small business, save American jobs. And I think in a bipartisan way, we did a great job. What we saw the speaker try to do starting in around August was to pass a $3.5 trillion bill then. It was not bipartisan. It was much of what she got just a couple weeks ago with the $1.9 trillion bill. But the $900 billion bill in December was bipartisan. The president willfully and very quickly signed it. And then what we saw as soon as Joe Biden became president and the Senate became Democrat-led, and now the House stayed in the Democrats' hands, we saw them very quickly to pass a $1.9 trillion COVID bill. We're only about 9% of that bill, by everybody's measure, really had anything to do with COVID. And the rest of it were wish lists, were bailouts for blue states and pension plans that have been in failure for over 50 years, giving money to schools that wouldn't be used until over the next decade with no requirements to reopen. These are just insane amounts of spending with very little to no Republican support. Now what we're seeing is the president wants to do another $2 trillion plan that's supposed to be very bipartisan. We'll see the details probably tonight or tomorrow on infrastructure. And then he wants to have a commensurate tax increase to help pay for some of that, and then do another $2 to $3 trillion infrastructure bill later this year that would have a lot of the Green New Deal issues in it that would also be funded. Now, many Democrats, it's been reported and rapidly being pushed, is they want a $10 trillion, 10-year infrastructure bill that would satisfy a lot of the issues that would be surrounding to getting the Green New Deal kicked off, which basically means ending fossil fuels as we know it, which would be devastating to the Oklahoma's economy, which represents about fossil fuels represents about 35% of our economy, which by association represents 35% of our school funding, represents about 40% of our highest paying jobs in Oklahoma. It would be devastating. It would destroy our economy here.
Some words to the folks of Bartlesville today. What you got to say?
Well, it's great to be with you. And this is the nice shining city on the hill, as Ronald Reagan used to talk about. It's great. You're just far enough away from Tulsa that you're isolated up here in a nice community and a long history of much success and much community involvement. And it's just such a great opportunity to come up here and spend the day, meet with so many different groups. And I just want to say thank you for all you do. And we also would like to say, our hearts and prayers go out with the Officer Davis's family, as such a tragedy happened this past week.